B-Pod Studios.
Going through the archives, just an amazing treasure trove of things that Haney and I did over the last 25 years. And I found this one, and boy, it brought back memories. It was in January of 2003. We had been trying so hard to get Bob Hope on the air, and so grateful that we finally did. Hi, is this Bob?
Are you calling for Mr. Hope?
Yes, I'm calling for Bob Hope's The Stan and Haney Show. I think that you should be aware that we had a phone call planned for him at this time.
Yes. Certainly, my pleasure. Who am I speaking with?
You're speaking with Stan. I'm one of the hosts of the show, and I'm speaking with who?
This is Martin Levine.
All right, Martin.
With Mr. Hope.
Okay.
And I understand that your producer spoke with Mr. David Brokaw.
Yes.
Earlier in the week.
That's true.
Regarding an interview. With Mr. Hope.
Yes, the week prior we had an interview with his wife Dolores, and we were told that it would be quite possible to get Mr. Hope on. My producer told me that Mr. Hope would be willing to come on the air with us.
And Mr. Hope will be perfectly willing to come on the air with you.
Okay.
We just need to go over a few ground rules, and
certainly.
perhaps Mr. David Brokaw went over these with you already.
He might have with our producer.
Well,
that's all right.
But we need to be very clear on this. As I'm sure you're aware, Mr. Hope is an elderly gentleman.
I understand.
And we thank God he seems to have, he has control of his faculties.
That's
but
good.
He is older, and we just ask that you keep that in mind.
Absolutely, Martin. What's your last name, Martin? I need to write that down for our records.
Martin. My name is Martin Levine.
Martin Levine.
And I'm with Mr. Hope.
Yes, I understand that. I knew I was going to be speaking with somebody. Is Mr. Hope ready and standing by? I know we have all of Southwest Florida that is waiting to hear from this giant of the entertainment business.
Yes, you will be speaking to Mr. Hope momentarily.
Okay. Thank you.
We need to finish some of the pre-interview process that Mr. David Brokaw should have gone over
I
with
understand.
You.
I understand. Mr. Brokaw probably went over this with my producer.
So then you're aware that Mr. Hope is elderly and
yeah, I am a well look, Mr. Levine, I'm aware that Bob Hope is like 98 years old. I understand that, and I understand
okay.
that he's an elderly gentleman. His wife, who we spoke to last week, is also in her 90s and was very lovely with us and said that he was in the kitchen at that time enjoying a sandwich. So that's how this whole thing got started with David Brokaw and getting things set up with Mr.
I will tell you this. Mr. Hope loves his sandwiches, so...
Thank you.
I'm glad that... and as a matter of fact, that brings us to the next topic of discussion. It was agreed upon...
By whom? What?
That evidently, when your producer was speaking with Mr. David Brokaw...
Yes.
This was worked out ahead of time and agreed upon... That with your interview with Mr. Hope, that there would be time made available for Mrs. Dolores Hope.
That's why we had Mr. Levin. That's why we had her on last week. We promoted her album, and we let her sing.
Pardon me, it's Mr. Levine.
Well, sorry,
Mr. Martin Levine.
Martin, can I call you Martin?
You may call me Martin Levine. That's fine.
Thank you, Mr. Martin Levine. Can we put Dolores, if she wants to sing again, she can sing again.
Yes, so we're agreed upon that a brief interview with Mr. Hope.
Yes, sir.
And then a featured singing spot for Mrs. Hope.
That is fine. I mean, we promoted the hell out of her album, which doesn't even appeal to our audience, in the hopes of speaking with Mr. Hope.
Okay, but you're aware that you'll also be speaking with Mrs. Hope. Who will
I understand that. I understand. We'll have her on again.
Okay. And what time is this interview scheduled?
We're doing it right now. We're live on the air.
This was supposed to be a taped interview.
It is January 14th, 2003. That was what our producer said. We do our interviews live, and we'd like to speak with Mr. Hope as per agreement, Mr. Levine.
Well, this is highly unusual, but I know that Mr. Hope is looking forward to this. I will allow it to continue.
Thank you.
Under the ground rules that we have already established.
Yes, Dolores can sing, and everything's fine.
I also never received the list of questions from you.
I don't hand out a list of questions. I ask questions, and I get responses that will elicit another question. They're not set questions for our guests, Mr. Levine, our producer.
Well, what,
dumbass,
sort of
should have told you about it.
What sort of topics will you be covering with Mr. Hope?
Things about his career with Bing, the Christmas specials, with the troops going overseas.
Okay.
All of that,
okay.
That stuff.
That's all perfectly reasonable, as long as it's heavy on promotion of the Christmas special.
Okay.
Which is next week.
We're in January, sir. You just had the Christmas special. It was mainly hosted by Tony Danza and Dolores Hope. Bob just sat there.
I don't know what show you were looking at.
And
but
I think
the DVD, but the DVD and VHS release simultaneous, it's never been done before.
I understand that.
Week.
And that's the best of the Bob Hope specials.
And yes, and we want to make sure that that you refer to it as a keepsake for your family and future
generations.
I'm not going to.
That can all be done afterwards. We're wasting value. I only have a certain amount of time, Mr. Levine, to speak with Mr. Hope, and I am told that we're going to speak with him, and if Dolores has to sing another GD song, I'm going to lose my mind. So let's get it rolling, and then I can get that old hag on to sing another song from her album, like Pennies from Heaven.
Okay, well, can I say it's just been lovely speaking with you? And
Christ's sake, get up, put Bob on. Bob Hope on.
The next voice that you hear will be Mr. Hope.
Thank you so much, Bob Hope, ladies and gentlemen.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, and make sure you let David Brokaw know that he should communicate better with my producer.
And I'm Martin Levine.
I understand. Is that with two L's?
Right here.
Oh, Mr. Hope. Bob
hey.
Hope.
Hey.
Stan and Haney Show. Sir, it's a pleasure to have you on the air with us.
Right here.
Yeah. By the way, I saw last month's Christmas special. You're really doing it from your home now, and having your wife and Tony Danza and Brooke Shields was absolutely fantastic. It was it was great.
Yeah.
Mr. Hope.
Yeah.
How are you feeling, sir? I know that you've had some health problems of late, but everybody says you're ready to play another 18 holes.
Rooting tooty.
Mr. Hall, you all right? Do you need a break? Bob?
Right here.
Okay. Tell me about those... You were a prize fighter from England before you came to the United States. You weren't born here in the United States, Bob, were you?
Road picture.
Okay. Somebody better check on him. We're going to get to the road pictures with you and Bing. That had to be a tragic loss with Bing. I mean, you guys went hand in hand. When you thought of Hope, you thought of Bing.
Like my golf game.
We're talking to Bob Hope, everybody. Of course, the Christmas special last month, and now here in January of 2003, we're talking to the legend himself, hoping for another Christmas special, maybe this Christmas, Bob?
Brooks Hill.
Yeah. Let's reminisce. How many Christmases do you estimate, Bob, that you spent away from home and away from your wife, Doris, entertaining the troops? I mean, if it wasn't for you... Bob Hope, ladies and gentlemen. If it wasn't for you entertaining the troops, I remember, you know, 68 in Nam with Raquel Welch up there doing her go-go dancing. Bob Hope, everybody. We finally got him. Mr. Bob Hope. Tell me about how many years of marriage... How many years of marriage with your lovely wife, Dolores? That has to be a marriage made in heaven, you and Dolores.
Take my wife.
good friends with Henny Youngman. Absolutely. We've had him on the show, by the way, too.
Georgie Jessel.
Yeah, and Jerry Colonna. But let me ask you, the singing acts that you had, I mean, back in the early days, you had the end. Hello? Well, we have apparently lost Bob Hope. And there you go. That was our interview with Bob Hope, January of 2003.
Southwest Florida, sure have a wonderful time. I feel as high as that Australian pine. Now I'm sweating my friggin' ass off in that Southwest Florida heat, but I'm loving all the people that I get to meet. You got to tune your radio on, now listen to me. We got that powerful stuff that'll knock you off. Fort Myers, all the radios are on. All over Southwest Florida, you know it can't be wrong. From Marco to Fort Charlotte, they all heard the news. They say 2 o'clock, time to light the fuse. Stan and Haney. Stan and Haney. Stan and Haney all afternoon. The best in local radio that there's ever been. The show is so damn good it makes the Pope wanna sin. The fell out to the beaches, people laugh out loud. Got the show that draws flies and a bit of a crowd. Stand and hit it. Listen to us once, then you're gonna listen twice. Got up way too damn early for too damn long. Back in the afternoon, that's where we belong. Stand and hit it. Stand and hit it. Stand and hit it. All afternoon. We'll be right back.
a new era for America and Southwest Florida. As for Stan and Haney, unfortunately, their problems remain much the same. Stan and Haney, 96 K-Rock.
Hey, everybody, it's Friday. And for most of you listening to this show...
Boy, this week has flown by, hasn't it?
It sure has. Your day and everything's just about done. We're coming on. You're looking at the clock. Oh, not much longer to go now. For us, we're just starting off over here and welcoming you. This is my friend Mark Haney. And this is our producer through the glass. That's Junior.
Saw, dude.
Hold on. You're too loud over there.
Did you say saw, dude?
Saw, dude.
What does that mean?
It means what's up.
Oh, okay.
Finally had a chance to sit down with Rick Peterson to really find the number of people involved
In
the commercial thing from the other day.
Did I exaggerate?
I thought you underestimated. It was a fiasco. It was a circus fiasco. How? How can two texts back and forth in a brief conversation turn things into all hell breaking loose? I don't know. I don't know, and I don't know. I don't know who to blame. I don't blame you. I don't blame me.
No, because when you were sick, I spoke to you directly one time.
Yes.
You advised me of your concerns.
Yes.
I agreed to alleviate those concerns and did so to the best of my ability and didn't feel it was my place to disturb you on your sick bed.
Well, I appreciate that from you. I think I found, because I didn't want to be mad at Junior either for his lies and spreading of rumors. I didn't want to be mad at him. I came down to the conclusion that all of this could have easily had been avoided had the salesperson communicated. Rick told me, you know, how Junior was going around a plucked chicken.
And you may know more now than me. Are there more people involved than even I know?
Oh, there are a lot of people involved.
I literally had almost nothing to do with this whole fiasco.
You noticed the qualifier.
Yeah, almost.
Almost.
I think that when you first came down to the radio station when I was out, had you and Rick Peterson, our production guy, had been able to find...
And we're the only ones necessary in this equation.
To find and communicate with the sales guy... Who wasn't available. All of this could have been avoided.
Mm-hmm.
All of it. Now...
But from my standpoint... I did all that I could do to deal with that situation at that time.
And from what I understand, this is Stan recuperating, Stan learning more info.
Coming out of the delusional state that you were in, according to Junior.
But stop using the word delusional.
That's not a word.
Delirious was the word. Delirious, not delusional.
Delusional was the word that I heard. He used both.
Hey, two different things.
Which one is it going to be, Junior? Stick with one.
It was a little bit of both.
That's your judgment.
I'm leaning towards delusional.
That's your judgment. Where was I? What was I saying to you? I don't know. It doesn't matter.
The delusion talking.
It was about me coming in that first day, and it could have been solved if the salesman had been here.
Because I wanted to salute you on this, because Rick told me about this. He said that we had trouble finding the salesperson to get the copy initially. You said to Rick, whether I have to be in here and do it,
mm-hmm.
or whether I do it from home and send it to you, it's going to get done.
Yeah.
And I'm looking.
And that's why I walked out of here feeling it like, okay, everything's fine.
And everything's good. You never do that. Hey, I don't. He told me he didn't even know why he was here. Thank you, Junior.
Because that's what I was told.
I'm delusional.
That's what I was told.
Oh, yeah, because when there was no copy here, I said, well, I don't even know why I'm here.
Oh,
yeah.
So you said...
So he did say that.
Okay, so we're all telling the truth. Are we?
Yes. And that's what I told you.
Out of everything that I was explaining to him, as far as an order of importance, I made an offhanded comment of, well, there's no copy here. I don't even know why I'm here. But you understand that you need to have a best of ready.
Oh, yeah. He didn't know about that. He didn't know about that.
No,
Now
he claims he knew that, but felt it would be ideal to call you on your sick bed to confirm you wouldn't be coming in.
That's the way I looked at it.
I had one ready to go, but I just wanted to make sure.
You had bits and pieces.
That's what he said.
It's still played.
I know it's still played. I want to take care of this.
How many people total were involved?
All right, and then I gotta mention this before we take the break. But I'm going to tell you how many people were involved. Hold on.
And keep in mind, as he comes up with this number, there's only two people that could have done anything about it, and that's me and Rick, and we were on the same page.
All right, so Junior, John the PD.
John told me he talked to at least three.
Hold on. Junior, John, Adam. Yeah, hold on.
Wolfman.
Oh, it's already Ken. I'll get this. I'm guessing about eight people were involved in this whirlwind of stupidity.
Now, that's eight people directly involved. I heard from our amigo Enrique that word was going around the building about it, too.
Oh, I wouldn't doubt about it. You know what? Let me put it to you this way. I take a day off, a sick day, and the show, and granted, and I understand the listener. I understand. Hey, wait a second. I heard Stan and Haney on Monday, but I didn't hear him Tuesday and Wednesday. I understand that, and I'm COVID-free. It's the building, the gossip, oh, my God. Stan and Haney aren't here, and they didn't do a commercial. I wonder if it's on our commercial log, too. I wonder if what's the client? Oh, I wonder if we can steal that client over to this radio station. Why don't you just all back off?
Yeah, damn vultures.
Yeah, they are. They are. They all want to get their beak wet.
Well, in a way, you should take it as a compliment.
How so?
Because they're not used to a world where Stan takes a sick day. You haven't taken a sick day since the turn of the century, Stan.
Yeah, that's true. See that book you got right there?
Yep.
A lovely lady, Marianne from Buckingham. I think that's Marianne or Marge Ann. Marge Ann? Large Ann? What does it say?
Oh, for crying out
loud. You read, is it Marianne or Marge Ann?
It's Marianne. Very clearly, it's Marianne.
How do you...
Could it be Marcy?
Yes, that's what I thought. Something like Marcy or Marge.
No, it's Marianne.
Okay.
You need me to read the rest of it, or can you make that out? Yeah. She's got good penmanship.
She's got great writing. She brought by two autographed copies of the new Hannity book for us that is on bookshelves now. It says, "To Stan and Haney, good reading, very interesting, enjoy." From Marianne in Buckingham, love you guys.
That is very thoughtful.
And that was very thoughtful of her. I saw them on the desk yesterday, and thank you so very much for thinking of us. Thank Haney for thinking of me. Thank the fans of Southwest Florida, the listeners, of thinking of us. What about you, Junior? You ready to stir up something today?
What? How does it always end up twisting back around to me?
Well, you know...
I had little to next to nothing to do with this whole situation.
What's rule number one? What's rule number one?
Now it's little to next to nothing instead of almost nothing.
Yep. Rule number one.
Make you guys look good.
Thank you. We're going to take a break. We'll be back with Stan and Haney. Good boy. Stan and Haney. 96K Rock.
From border to border, from east to west, week after week, year after year, this is the biggest show in town.
Stan and Haney.
Stars in the afternoon. Over the 159 stations from coast to coast.
96K Rock.
Hey, everybody. everybody. Stan and Haney Friday edition. Labor Day weekend for most of you.
Come Monday, it'll be all right. Heading up to San Francisco for a Labor Day weekend blow.
You know, and I'm sorry. The only thing from now on, if in this building I'm accused of anything, I'm going to say I was set up.
Well, as Tucker Carlson helpfully did, he put the side-by-side of Marion Barry and Pelosi about how bitch set me up.
You like that, Tucker Carlson? Why don't you go write him a love letter?
Dear Tucker, you are the only one that gets me.
Grab bag. Grab bag.
And now, time for grab bag by a man called Stan Noelonic.
Yep. Audio grab bag brought to you by the...
Why do you think that is?
North. What?
He never says somebody named Stan. The subject of the story is Stan. Other news people will go, and the man's name was Stan Noelonic. Tucker will go, a man called Stan Noelonic time.
I love that, though.
Every time. He's doing that on purpose.
Of course he is.
But why?
It makes it sound more mysterious.
A man simply called Junior appears to be at the center of the controversy.
Yeah. Peter Mugg, North Naples.
Ah.
You know,
didn't think I was going to get that solved today. Thanks. Mysterious is what it's for.
Oh, it's to make it almost cryptic and mysterious. And a man called Haney.
And not the man is Haney or the man's name is Haney. He's called
Haney. But
then
you think about it. A man called Haney. You ever wonder why he doesn't go by Mark Haney? It's just Haney. A man called Haney.
A man called Haney. It's not... It is Haney.
No.
It's a man called Haney. I think that was a movie, wasn't it?
Man Called Horse.
Oh, that's what it was.
I don't know why. There are reasons. But when I heard this clip this morning, I was thinking of Junior. And it has nothing to do with Junior, but maybe you can see how I might think, oh, I can picture Junior.
You can picture a man called Junior.
And it's not new. It's been around for a while. But never have I heard such joy. We often talk about, hey, how can someone experience such joy?
Because it's so foreign to us.
Yeah. And it's from a while back.
I do. I feel like Spock when I see joy now.
It's
fascinating.
It's a little boy who is so thrilled about learning how to ride a bicycle that he gives an inspiring speech to all the other little kids out there.
See,
that
I can,
you can do it.
I can remember the moment, and I can remember that it was a really good thing when I learned how to ride my bike by myself, but I can't remember the feeling.
Here you go.
I feel happy of myself.
I feel happy of myself, too.
What about for all the other kids trying to learn how to ride their bike? Can you say anything to them?
Everybody! Believe in yourself. If you believe in yourself, you will know how to ride a bike. If you don't, you just keep practicing. You will get the hang of it, I know it. If you keep practicing, you will get the hang of it again. You can get better and better at it if you do it. Thumbs up, everybody!
Alright.
For rock and roll!
Okay, well, things are going pretty good for that little kid now, Junior.
Yeah, I'm definitely not as positive as
But at one point you probably were.
Mm-hmm.
But what happens...
When you got that drum kit.
What happens from there? That little boy is very happy now. He's learned to ride a bike. Life's going to be easy. It's like riding a bike.
It's all downhill from there.
It actually gets worse.
It gets worse.
A lot worse.
Yeah.
What's the next thing for him? Going to school?
Yeah, going to school.
What's going to happen to him there?
He's going to get his heart broken. Probably get bullied.
Yeah. Seriously, in that my neighborhood, that kid would be bullied.
Oh, absolutely.
They'll knock the spark right out of him.
See, I started out as that kid.
Yeah.
And I soon realized that I can't be that kid in public. I have to keep that private. It's okay around relatives and whatnot, but you have to scowl most of the time.
The rest of the gang see that. Watch out.
Oh, I did. See, I got away with it up until fourth grade because I was around my friends in Daytona. On my first day in Pennsylvania, I really didn't like it there, and I was trying to make the best of it, and I'm walking down the hall, and internal dialogue is, okay, it's just the first day, it'll get better from here, and as I have that thought, a kid about 2 or 3 years older than me passes me in the hall and goes, what are you walking around with a stupid smile on your face for?
Yeah, and gave you a flat tire.
No.
Well, that's what I would have done to you. And then I would have knocked your books out of your hand.
Yeah, and then I would have been in trouble because I'm the new kid, I'm not adjusting well, and I'm fighting.
Yeah. Tough to fight with a big wedgie.
It wasn't tough to fight for me because on the first day I became very friendly with an insane kid named John, who had been held back for about 10 years and had a mustache in fifth grade.
He suffered a lot, too.
He did. And he let it be known if anybody wanted to mess with me, they'd see him.
Yeah. How long did that last?
The whole time.
The whole time? He was still in school while you were still in school?
Yeah, I was there less than a year. But I'll tell you what, that insane kid was very trustworthy.
Yep, to you.
Well, I was the only one nice to him.
Right. There's a guy in Australia. His name's Bill Edgar. This is creepy. He calls himself...
Wait a second. There's a man...
Who calls himself...
No, a man called.
Oh, I'm sorry, okay. There's a guy, a man in Australia they call Bill Edgar.
No, not they call. It's just...
This is not the way it is. He's from Australia.
In Australia, there's a man called Bill Edgar. Every story.
I know, but I'm not...
Our president is called Donald Trump.
He calls himself the Coffin Confessor. This guy is for real. People pay him $10,000 to show up at their own funeral and reveal their biggest secrets after they've died. He's talked about how it works in an interview done the other day and revealed the type of secrets people tell him. Hey, just take a listen to this guy. He's called the Coffin Confessor.
I meet with a client and we do a contract. I do a video. I do everything right. A lot of the clients, they say, oh, you know, I wouldn't mind saying it myself or confronting them, but I haven't seen anybody in 6 months since I've been dying, so let it rip. At first, it's pretty intimidating. I mean, everybody's sort of, you know, they're mourning the death of somebody, a loved one, but at the end of the day, they want to hear what their loved one, you know, left unsaid. I've exposed sexual affairs, relationships with brothers and sisters even. Probably the worst is, you know, that a girlfriend confessing to sleeping with her partner's mum and dad.
Stuff like, so basic.
Did he say what I think he said?
What he does is the dying person pays him $10,000 on their deathbed, tells him their darkest secrets that they could never tell their family, and then he lets everybody know what they were.
So if someone who knows that they're dying... is that death is imminent.
You know, the deathbed confession.
And they are willing to pay a stranger $10,000 to go and tell the family something unpleasant. I'd say the majority of that will probably went to charity anyway.
Yep.
What's your big secret, Junior?
I'm going to wait till I'm on my deathbed.
It's that bad?
It's $10,000 bad.
I know there's a reason we keep him around.
Yeah, yeah. A zingaroo like that one keeps him on the show. This is about as stupid as, you know, something you've waited your whole life for. Oh, it could be something spectacular. Well, there's a couple in Arkansas experiencing their lifelong dream. They wanted to see in person a funnel cloud, a tornado. That was their lifelong dream.
There's lots of videos of that.
Yep, but they wanted to see one in person. And they finally got their chance.
Yes!
Oh my God.
I have waited my whole life. There it goes. It's coming pretty fast. Oh, yes! Woo-hoo! Oh my God, look at all this stuff.
I told you that movie Twister would lead to problems.
Yep. You said that from the very beginning.
Remember when we were at the theme park at the Twister ride, and I leaned over and whispered to you so I didn't spoil it for everybody else, but yep. I said, this is fake.
Yep. Did a good job with it, though.
It's fake.
You can find talent anywhere. Dateline Boston. A FedEx worker likes to sing opera as he's delivering.
That's our FedEx rock star.
Yeah, they all loved him. I didn't think it was that great.
Yeah, it's not. It's just somebody that spends a lot of time alone.
Yeah.
And they get comfortable with their voice.
Let me play this for you.
If the man was actually hired to perform an opera, he wouldn't know whether to rewind his watch.
Man calls himself Adam Carolla.
A man called Alan Carolla. It's the same every time.
He got into hot water. He's been in a lot of hot water because he speaks the truth.
Well, yeah. His buddy Jimmy Kimmel has a network show and a lot of money. Adam Carolla has his integrity.
Yes. He lives in California, completely fed up with the lockdowns and
who can live like that?
The crap. And so he went and went online on his podcast and just went, and I think he Twittered it too, that he's fed up with this, that this is completely ridiculous. We should all be ashamed of ourselves of being locked up. Well, they all turned on him. You should apologize. He said he won't apologize.
Good.
What you heard is 6 months of being frustrated that we're not doing things that make sense. What I said is callous. We're living in a callous world. So basically, you can't cancel me. I'm already canceled. Like I'm not working in that world anyway. I'm not doing sitcoms. So no, I don't care.
This is a terrible apology, Adam.
Yeah, nice. Yeah,
I'm not apologizing to any assholes. And by the way, you don't accept apologies. That's what I figured out from these people. Anyway, look, you will save more people if you lock everything down. Possibly. We make calculations as a society, risk versus reward.
He's absolutely right.
Are we allowed to say that?
No. Or we'll have a podcast. Well, we do have, but I'm talking about not this. This is so good, and I got to give you the details on it. First of all, I want...
I became a Kirk Cousins fan, by the way.
Always have been. I'm going to give you a line from a movie, and then I'm going to give you the details about it. I want the exact movie that this came from.
I thought we did that yesterday.
I know, but there's news today. This is only a few seconds. Tell me this movie where this famous line comes from.
Just when I thought I was out, they pulled me back in.
Simple. Tommy Boy.
Junior?
Is that Godfather 3?
Godfather 3. Al Pacino. Francis Ford... Godfather 3 was announced, got nominated for a lot of Academy Awards, but is always last on the list of the Godfather trilogy, wanting to surpass it. And Francis Ford Coppola was never completely happy with the way Godfather 3 came out, and which the way Paramount wanted to do it. He wanted to
It seems like people were pretty happy with it.
He wanted to do it the way Mario Puzo and him had envisioned doing it.
No, you got to get Danny Aiello for that.
That's the last Don. Francis Ford Coppola is recutting The Godfather Part 3 to make it more fitting.
Isn't it heresy to do that?
He's the one who made it. And it's made to his specifications. Said he's going to make it more a fitting end to the first two films. He says he created a new beginning to the movie and a new ending to the movie. The movie turns 30 years old. The new cut will be called The Godfather, Coda, The Death of Michael Corleone. It will have a limited theatrical release in December, and then it will go to DVD, downloads.
Yeah, think about it. He's got a lot of footage to use.
Tons of footage.
So here's my question. When does Tony Soprano show up?
He doesn't show up.
But he's remaking the movie. I think it would just make sense.
Joey Zaza's in that movie.
There was a group of actors from The Godfather that, for the rest of their lives, made a living playing bit parts as wise guys.
Absolutely.
There's like a whole class of them.
Absolutely.
Oh, he was in The Godfather. Absolutely.
Yeah, get him some work.
Well, he's willing to work for that? Yes, we'll take him.
Yeah. He was in the... all the way down to an Abe Vigoda.
Boy niece. A man called Abe Vigoda.
Yes. Yes. We're going to take a break.
And at first I thought, you know, that's kind of a nice signature thing for him. That's, you know that you're watching, yes, Tucker when you hear things like, a man called blah, blah, blah. But after watching the show multiple times, it's every single time that he refers to a human being.
A man called Francis Ford Coppola is remaking The Godfather 3.
A film called The Godfather 3.
He's calling it The Godfather Coda, Death of Michael Corleone.
The film surrounds the exploits of a man called Michael Corleone.
Yes. We're going to take a break.
I want to know where that came from. Either that's something that hit him as a pet peeve, or somebody told him...
Again, you're going to lose sleep over this. I don't want you losing sleep over why he says a man called versus anything else.
Could you call Fox News Jr.?
Oh, for Pete's sake!
And ask them why Tucker Carlson says that.
Why don't you just write him a love letter?
Well, he's sassy today, isn't he?
When we come back.
You got to admit, Tucker Carlson is an attractive man.
Dear Tucker.
I got a little clip for you when we come back of the Rolling Stones. They released their rare concert from 1973 in a box set. We got a little sample of it for you. And in the local beat, Haney, you know how I love appliances. Gadgets.
Yeah, to the point that your wife has prohibited you from having any more gadgets, even when they're upgrades and necessary.
Yeah,
because you have so many.
I got a story, local beat, of a gadget that I have in my home that could be deadly.
Is your child at risk?
Yeah. We're standing.
It's sweeps week.
96 K Rock.
A toy battery-driven bunny just can't stop beating a little bass drum. And we just can't stop beating a long dead horse. Stan and Haney, 96 K-Rock.
Hey, gang, Stan and Haney here. We'll have the local beat for you in just a few minutes. We'll also give you a little sample of the new
Rolling Stones re-release in a rare concert. And in about 30 minutes, we'll give you a chance to win. We'll play Stan's Three Strikes. Played a lot like the Family Feud, but not exactly. We'll give you the category, top 10 answers on the board, and you'll get three chances to clear the board. If you strike out, we'll move to the next caller who can steal, and we'll do so until all answers are revealed. Simple as that. This is new release day. Friday's new release day for music. And the Rolling Stones released Goat's Head Soup 2020 Deluxe Edition today. And it's a 3-CD plus Blu-ray package that includes the original 1973 album, rarities, alternate takes, all of that stuff. And
is this one of those copyright things?
Yeah, well, yes. Yes, sir. And a long-awaited release of the Brussels Affair. That was a concert also from 1973. Not been heard since it happened.
And is that for good reason?
I don't know. You be the judge. It is at the same concert. Well, it says the concert's there. One of the rarities is the Scarlet thing with Jimmy Page on lead guitar. That's all coming out on this. But here's the Brussels Affair concert and how it started back in 1973. There's just a little sample for you from the new Stones release of Goat's Head Soup.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, it's the Rolling Stones.
Sound as good as they would in the studio.
Would you say it's still a better recording than the Joe Vaughn tour?
Yes. They were still a good hard rock and roll band. There you go. There's a little sample for you.
Oh, yeah, you can't play that part.
No, you got, well, that song, I'm surprised that any radio station still play it.
Because it's problematic.
It's problematic. You know, funny thing about it, though, and this is true, before all of this stuff went down, I'm saying 10 years ago, 12 years ago, Haney and I did a bit saying that that song was problematic.
Mm-hmm.
Before anybody ever said anything, it was on every rock station's playlist, and we did a whole thing about it, how it was problematic 12 years ago.
Speaking of problematic, yeah. Are you going to do it today, or are you going to wait for a couple of weeks? Well, your long essay where you finally admit that your entire life has been a lie, that you are not, in fact, a man of Polish descent. And that you have been a culture leech on the Polish nation. And I don't understand why you would spend your whole life pretending to be Polish if you're not.
Yeah. Jeez.
Everybody you know. Oh, yeah, you know Stan the Pole.
Yeah. I'm going to hold off on that for a little bit. Oh, I've been... My bank account's been hijacked again.
Are you kidding? Is it Harley?
I don't know who it is, but evidently I was caught on a skimmer or something. So I have a good bank. I won't say the name of the bank, but they send me, kind of like what your bank does, every move your card makes or every purchase that does not seem right.
Mm-hmm.
So keep in mind, I'm...
Because you had somebody named Harley. That... what were they? They were buying all kinds of stuff.
Oh, yeah. And I had to cancel the whole thing. Well, it's
was on the verge of happening again. So I flat on my back for 4 days, except for the one day I came in here. Shouldn't have. But I get an alert on my phone. Not on top of everybody texting me and calling me.
Oh, while you had the fever, yes, you're getting this.
I get a bank alert. And it says a small payment of $2.85 has been made to something I don't know what it is. I call the bank.
It wasn't the Minnesota Freedom Fund, was it?
No, no, no. I call the bank. They say it's still pending. We'll keep an eye on it for you. But you need to be aware that if you get another alert from this, we'll set up another alert. Sure enough, the next day, reoccurring payment, another $2.85. Mm-hmm. So I call the bank back, get to the lady, and she's very nice. And I said, can you at least tell me, because it was a transaction in California. Well, it doesn't necessarily mean it happened in California. It just means that that's where the banking transaction's made. I said, can you please tell me where this transaction has been made? She said to me, sir, I can only ask you this question. Have you been to a farmer's market lately? And I said, no, I've been flat on my back with a fever, and I wasn't purchasing a dollar or $2.85 at the farmer's market at 2:15 a.m. We better stop this card. I said, please, thank you. We'll issue you a new debit card. We'll take care of that right away. I said, well, I got the weekend approaching and stuff. I said, can you overnight me a bank card? We can't do it here. It's going to be 2 weeks before you mm-hmm. get a card.
Mm-hmm.
I said, I need my money. I need access to my money.
And people in hell want ice water.
Pretty much what she said. She said, you can go to the bank and see if they will issue a temporary card until your card comes in. Well, I went to the bank this morning before I came into work.
We don't have the ability to do that, sir.
They don't. You know what they have the ability to do? I had to go and arrange with the bank. Now I'm a member of something now. I don't know. To get a cash card where I can conveniently remove cash from my account and put it on this prepaid card.
Mm-hmm.
And as long...
Just a small fee.
As long as I don't go over the amount I put in. If I was not a customer in good standing, I would have had to pay a small fee. They're not letting me... they waived the fee, and I was able to put some money up. But if I use up all the money... I have to go and physically move more out of my checking account onto this prepaid card until, she said, 2 weeks before I get my new debit card because somebody caught me on a skimmer.
Well, at least they only tagged you for $2.85.
Twice.
I got tagged for three twice. This is a new one on me. I don't use ATMs like I used to. You know what I mean? When's the last time you used cash?
Yeah, I use an ATM quite a bit. Or, you know, at the gas pump, I use it. At the convenience store, I use it.
Well, I actually went to a bank, and because of location, it wasn't my bank. It was somebody else's bank, but, you know, they have the arrangements. And I knew I was going to have to pay a fee. But I pop in the card. And it's a menu like I've never seen before.
You haven't used these things in a while. There is a huge menu.
And this menu is almost like screaming at me to do these various actions or we can't complete your transaction. And I'm like, what is the button that I pressed to just get my money and my card back? No, no, no. You can't see that button. You have to tell me that you either want us to do this, which we want you to do, or good luck finding the place where you reject it. So I got the money out finally.
Yeah.
It took a lot longer than it should have, because even ones that had agreed to get me the money, they still wanted me to hit the touch screen a bunch of times for other things. And I know I'm sounding like an old man here. I've used ATMs before. I have never seen this style menu.
They really have evolved.
And so when I checked my bank account, because I was not feeling great about it, checked my bank account the next day, the bank had tagged me for $6.
Yep.
The three that I agreed to for the transaction, but because of their menu, they somehow tricked me into doing an account balance check.
That's another $3.
That's another $3,
and because,
which I never asked for.
And your bank charges you, too.
Yep.
So you get double hit.
Yep.
Yeah.
And it's like, you want your money? You yeah. probably want to check your balance, don't you? No, I don't. Where's the no? No? Great.
Yeah.
Here's your account balance.
Yeah. We've just charged your account $3.
Yep.
Yep. Sorry, Haney.
You know, I don't mind that kind of treatment when I'm in front of a slot machine, but yeah. when I'm just trying to take money out.
Local beat. This one, for anybody that has a nice home appliance, you like the little gadgets, you like this oven, you like that mixer, you like that thing that does things in 20 seconds versus 2 hours, you like the slow cooker, the pressure cooker.
Well, and it's a very personal thing. I had to know you for over 20 years before I presumed to know you well enough to get you a kitchen gadget.
That's true.
And I believe I've gotten you two, and I'm responsible for a third.
Yeah, but they're all good. Headline from Wink News. And I have one of these.
Of course you do.
A woman says air fryer filled home with smoke in the middle of the night. After Krista Fisher's husband had major heart surgery, she decided they needed to eat healthier. So she bought an Emeril Lagasse Power Air Fryer 360 after seeing the infomercial.
Just like you.
Yeah, we're like, wow, three shells, we can do the whole meal, no grease. They cook things like chicken, pork chops, and fries. Oh, yeah, and it does.
I wouldn't do that in an air fryer.
It's not like the tunnel. It's it looks like a toaster oven.
Oh, okay.
Krista said, I thought it was a pretty good product, but you just never know when your Russian roulette time is going to come, and mine came. After going to sleep one night earlier this month, Fisher said she awoke to heavy smoke and made her way into the kitchen. I walked by the air fryer emitting such high amounts of heat, I went to grab the handle, but the handle was so hot to the touch. She unplugged the machine, something the manual says to do immediately after use.
Well, that's helpful.
Earlier that night, she made garlic bread, but said she had shut the fryer off. And on the thing, you can shut it off. It says on the little illuminated screen,
off.
But she left it plugged in. But off should be off. Fisher stated, this machine, I guarantee, 100% was not running because it tends to run a little loud. The machine's once silver-looking fan is now ash white. And the rust-looking splatters, she said, were not there before. I clean this appliance each and every time I use it, because I don't like to have things dirty. Fisher isn't the only unhappy customer. An Amazon user wrote in 2019 that theirs began emitting white smoke with a smell of an electrical fire. Two other people complained to the Consumer Product Safety Commission website this year that their Emeril Power air fryers, one of which was slightly different model, exploded while in use. There's the.
Now I want you to think about this, especially with Amazon, and I'm not judging anybody. I'm as guilty of it as anybody else, but it's just what's going on now. You order a lot of stuff from Amazon based on convenience or price or whatever. Shows up at your door nice and easy. But this crap is made in China.
Yeah.
They're not our friends, and they make virtually everything. And we saw a couple of weeks ago where the Chinese were sending seeds and different things to people unsolicited.
The manufacturer of this, and yeah, it's probably made in China, the manufacturer is TriStar Products Incorporated, told Wink TV in a statement that TriStar is committed to consumer safety.
Yeah, of course they are.
It is our number one priority.
Yeah.
This product meets all applicable industry standards.
Mm-hmm.
We are investigating the matter.
Yep.
The TV news also reached out to Emeril Lagasse's team and did not hear back. He's just putting his name on it.
Mm-hmm.
He sold his name to them. Come on. As for Fisher, she sent the air fryer back, and TriStar refunded her money. Here's a tip,
Stan,
unplug everything. Unplug it.
Now, lax manufacturing, what have you. What if they start doing it on purpose?
Oh, I know. We're all doomed.
And that's, you know, when people hear about the TikTok controversy and all that. Our government, prior to our current president, got way too cozy with China. And China is now in our homes, in our electronics. And if they have ill intentions, they could do a hell of a lot of damage.
Here's the thing a lot of people don't know. With the TikTok thing, a lot of people are blaming Trump. Oh, there's Trump trying to cancel out TikTok. It was Joe Biden's team that asked him, don't do anything on TikTok because it could be used for nefarious things. That came out before Trump or anybody from the administration said TikTok's got to go.
And that's another thing. I mean, where we're talking about appliances, Amazon is the gateway, and I'm very careful about it. I'm sure you are. But when you go to, whether it's Apple or Google, and you go to the App Store and you see something that you need, how much attention do you pay to who makes it? And even if you do, it'll be something like TriStar American 3-star system.
Let me tell you something. I've been around the block a few times. If I see something I like, I buy it. And that's why I can't use my card now.
Yep.
Stan's three strikes.
Throw caution to the wind, right, Stan? It'll only cost you $2.85 several times a week.
We'll be back. Stan and Haney, 96 K-Rock.
Suddenly, there's a whole new way of looking at radio. Introducing
Stan and Haney, 96 K-Rock.
Hey, everybody. Stan and Haney, Jr. Reminder, bells and buzzers. Bells and buzzers. Don't want to catch you off guard. We're going to be playing Stan's Three Strikes, a lot like the Family Feud. I need those strike sounds. We're about half hour away from your first look at traffic news headlines with Mark Haney, 4 o'clock fluffer, your emails. But that's right, going to give you a chance to win right now. We're going to play Stan's Three Strikes, played a lot like the Family Feud. I've got phones on lockdown right now. This is probably the most unfair game that we play. Because somebody can be really on a roll and strike out, and somebody may have to just answer one thing.
Well, you know, it's a lot like life.
Yes.
Life is unfair. Somebody will do all the hard work, and then somebody else will come in and take credit.
Yep. Junior going around this hall bragging like a...
Boy, he has got a mouth on him today.
Sure. Oh, yeah.
He's chewing his cud again.
Yeah.
I'm a good boy.
What are you eating?
Veggie straws. I'm watching my figure.
What?
Veggie straws.
What is that?
These.
Oh, by the way, now they see what that is, Haney? That veggie straw, that's a snack food, a bagged snack food. I've Oh, I've had them. They're not bad.
Oh, they're great. Do you want to try one?
They're not bad. Try one.
No.
No, they're not bad. Although his hand has been in there digging at it, to the mouth.
Hey, thanks, pal. That's okay.
But that's interesting that he has a bang of that right now, because today's game, the category for Stan's Three Strikes, favorite, or I shouldn't say favorite, most popular snack. These are in your chip family.
I don't think veggie straws will be there.
100,000 people cast their votes. They asked, what are the most popular chips in the country? The ones they like best. Labor Day. You're going to be maybe going out having a picnic or something, or taking
it. Hey.
Sorry. Having a meal outside. And you're going to have some chips, and everybody has their favorites. You're going to be out barbecuing. You got to have some chips to go along with it. First person to clear the board will get $50 to the pewter mug. This is played a lot like the Family Feud, like I said. Top 10 answers on the board will go to the first caller. They have three strikes. They can sweep, get all 10, and they're the big winner. If they strike out, maybe there's five left on the board. The next caller will have their three strikes and a chance to steal and get the victory. Now, say they got four of the five left remaining. There's only one left on the board that nobody has gotten. Well, we go to that next caller. They'll have three chances to get that one thing that's left on the board. Let's play Stan's Three Strikes. 277-9600. Phones are on lockdown right now. I'll release them here as soon as I officially give the category. Labor Day weekend, barbecue time. You're going to bring the chips. You're going to bring your favorite chips. 100,000 people voted on this. Top 10 answers on the board. Most popular bagged chips. And keep in mind, there might be multiple ones because a lot of the brands have different kinds.
So it's got to be bagged?
These are not necessarily bagged.
Because you said bagged.
These are chips that you would bring. Maybe they're in a bag. Maybe they're canistered.
There we go.
All right. Maybe there's more than one canister on there. Your job is to, geez, Junior. Show every one available. These are the top 10. Phone lines are released. You got three strikes to get it. $50 to the pewter mug. 277-9600. Let me hear it. You got the strike ready? Just let me hear it. That's a correct answer. That's a strike. 277-9600. Jeez. Ahoy, who's this?
Hi, this is Robert.
Robert, top 10 answers on the board. Favorite chip?
Doritos.
Doritos. I need it to be more specific. There are flavors of Doritos, so they may show up more than once. What? Cool Ranch?
Yes, sir.
Doritos Cool Ranch. Yep, number two on the board.
So it's going so far as to go by flavor.
Oh, by flavor. Absolutely. Okay. All right. You got one. You got all three strikes remaining. Go.
Next guess would be Cheetos.
Number one answer.
Cheetos.
You're doing good. I got the top two answers. There are eight more left to win the pewter mug.
Funyun?
Oh, everybody likes a Funyun, but that's strike one. Did not make the top 10.
It's one of your outliers.
Yeah. There's a couple of outliers on here that I didn't expect to see. But
Lay's potato chips.
Original Lay's potato chips?
Yes, sir.
Number six on the board. You're doing just fine. One strike, you got three down. Go.
Hot Cheetos.
Hot Cheetos. Strike two. One more strike.
Lay's barbecue.
Lay's barbecue. You betcha. Number four on the list. You're playing really well, but you got two strikes, so you know you're either going to get one right and continue, or get one wrong and you're out. Keep going.
Fritos.
You know, I would have thought for sure Fritos would be there. Not there. Strike three.
I am the Frito Bandito.
I love Fritos corn chips. I love them. I do. I love Fritos corn chips. I'll take them from you.
Because he's the Frito Bandito.
All right. He did a really good job.
I wonder if him and the Hamburglar ever did a job together.
I doubt it. Cheetos, Cool Ranch Doritos, Lay's Barbecue, Lay's Original, all on the board. Still got more to let go. Let's see if somebody can steal this thing. Ahoy, who's this?
Ahoy, Stan. This is Steve from Masarchy Town. How you doing?
Steve, how are you, buddy?
Not too bad, man. All right. How's everything down south?
Everything's doing good.
Where is he?
Where are you from?
Masarchy Town, a little town that's just a little bit north of Tabor, a little bit south of Lotella.
How are you going to go to the Pewter Mug?
I got family down in Naples, my friend. That's where I'm from. I come down. Oh, yeah.
All right. Fair enough. I'm just telling you what the prize is. You got three strikes, buddy. Go.
I tell you what. You know what? I've been trying to listen. What's been on the board so far?
All right. Here's what's on the board so far. Cheetos, Cool Ranch Doritos, Lay's Barbecue, Lay's Original.
Let's go with the ridges, the ruffled ridges.
Plain original or anything specific?
We're just going to go with the plain ruffles original. Yep.
Strike one.
Wow, really?
The plain ruffles did not make the top 10.
Let's try the ruffles with the cheesy ruffles.
I need to be, again, I got to have more specific. If they're your favorite chip, you know what they are.
How about the cheddar cheese ruffles?
They come with something else on them.
A sour cream.
Yes, sir. Number three on the board. Number three on the board. You got Ruffles cheddar and sour cream at number three. One strike against you. We have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 remaining.
I tell you what, let's go with pork rind.
Strike two. Strike two.
Oh, here we go. Frito. Can't have Frito pie without the Frito.
Strike three. Somebody already guessed Fritos before. It was not, did not make the top 10. And I'm going to tell you, 100,000 people surveyed on this thing. Keep in mind, there's some young people on there that don't believe that, you know, the traditional chip is the healthiest thing to eat. I know. And that just goes, I think, for one of them. But,
you know, if that was true, I'd be fine with it, but it's not.
Yeah, I know. Well, what are you eating over there?
Veggie straws.
Yeah, see what I mean?
And look at him.
Ahoy, who's this?
This is Scott Fortmyers. How you doing?
Scott Fortmyers, how you doing, buddy? Here's what we got so far. We got Doritos, or we've got Cheetos, Cool Ranch Doritos, Ruffles Cheddar and Sour Cream, Lay's Barbecue, Lay's Original. You got three strikes. Go.
Let's try sour cream and onion ruffles.
Sour cream and onion ruffles. Strike one.
Ouch. How about Pringles?
Original or any specific ones?
Gotta be the original, I guess.
Number nine on the board, Pringles Original. That's not to say that there's not another Pringles up there.
That's not to say there is either.
Yeah.
Oh, boy. All right. Let's try the sour cream and onion Pringles.
Number five on the board. There
could
are
there be there, any there more are, Pringles on there.
There are three left. Now, what kind of Pringles did you just mention?
the sour cream and onions.
Do you think another company might also make that same kind of...
Well, Lay's used to make a really good sour cream and onions.
It's right there, number 7 on the board. It's still somebody's favorite.
Excellent. Boy, let's see what else.
So there you go.
I wish I heard the first guy's wrong answers, so let's see.
That's usually... Now, I'm going to tell you, and I'm going to... You know what? I almost feel guilty about this, because the next two, I think, one, and I'm not positive, one might be regional, and one is a health kind of chip. I'm going to help you along with this, and if you completely give me a dumb answer, I'm going to strike you. But I've helped people along, and they kind of catch on to what it might be. Now, I'm going to help you. Number 8 on the board. You know how often they tell you about fried chips. It's healthier if they're what?
The baked Lays.
I'm giving you hints. There's a brand that is known for their baking. It's almost like nature is drying them out. It's not the moon, but it's the...
Ah, yes. Sun chips. Oh, boy. Mm-hmm. There's a bunch of flavors.
Yes, there is. Yes. Don't bring him yet. He's not... I'm helping him. It is sun chips, but it's a particular flavor.
What just happened? Lord. Because Junior appears stunned.
Yeah.
Cheddar sun chips are pretty popular.
Stay there. And their particular cheddar... has a name in front of it, like almost like in the fall when you go for the fall
harvest cheddar.
Yes, number 8 on the board.
Boy, he nailed that.
You nailed it. Now,
well, let's go with the regional one. Oh boy.
Now, here's where I'm gonna help you along too, but I want you to at least get the brand. All right, if you don't get the brand this time, I'm going to strike, and it's going to be strike 2. There is a brand that has been, has it been mentioned before? Yes, it has been. As a matter of fact, it has been mentioned once before of their Cool Ranch flavor. So it's a brand that also has a Cool Ranch flavor.
So Doritos.
We're moving along nicely here. So, Doritos, this would be number 10 on the board.
Okay.
What
was number 1?
Number 1 was Cheetos, by the way.
Okay.
All right, so we know it's Doritos. It is not the original, and it is not their cheddar and sour cream or anything like that. This is a flavor. Okay. It's a flavor that, you like things... tangy, but a little sweet as well.
They call it, I believe, sweet and spicy chili or sweet
Thai
chili.
Yes, say no more! Say no more! Yep. It is the Doritos Spicy Sweet Chili. You are absolutely correct. All 10 are revealed. What's your first name again?
It is Scott. From Myers.
Scott, you just picked yourself up $50 to the pewter mug.
Thank you, guys, very much.
Hold on. I'm going to send you over to Junior, and he's going to get the information from me, all right?
Thank you, guys.
All right, buddy, hold on.
Do you have the longer list, or do you just have the 10?
I just have the 10. Said 100,000 votes were sent in for the 10 most popular chips.
I'll tell you right now, it is a GD travesty.
Yeah.
No Charles chips.
No.
No Bugles.
Again, Charles Chips, regional. A lot of places still don't sell. I love a Bugle. But it's not. They're not everywhere. That's an old snack. A lot of places don't carry them. But I agree with you on both. Charles Chips, there used to be the man that used to come to the door and deliver Charles Chips. In a big canister.
I would be so happy when I saw that Charles Chips truck pull
up. I agree
up,
with you.
And they'd bring just a vat of potato chips.
Labor Day barbecue this weekend. You're asked to bring the chips. A survey done. 100,000 people voted. The 10 most popular chips in America. Number 10, Doritos Spicy Sweet Chili. Number 9, Pringles Original. Number 8, something I wouldn't eat, Sun Chips Harvest Cheddar.
Number 7, Lay's Sour Cream and Onion. Number 6, Lay's Original. Number 5, Pringles Sour Cream and Onion. Number 4, Lay's Barbecue. Number 3, Ruffles Cheddar and Sour Cream. Number 2, Cool Ranch Doritos. And number 1, Cheetos. Now, are they the puffed ones, or are they the crunchy ones, or...
Flamin' Hot.
Flamin' Hot. Just Cheetos.
Hi, I'm Chester Cheetah. And I'm a little creepy.
Yep. We're gonna take a break. When we come back...
Hey, has anybody seen the Frito Bandito?
Your first look at traffic. News headlines with Mark Haney. 4 o'clock fluffer. Your emails... We're the Stan and Haney Show, 96K Rock.
Go, go, where the fashions are. Go, go, where the savings are.
Hey, kids, you know that Stan's Clothing Treasure Warehouse City Emporium World is your in spot for all the groovy styles. But since Labor Day is almost here, Stan's also has some boss deals on all your Labor Day picnic supplies, like 65% natural ground beef, mostly meat hot dogs, packed or linked, chicken thighs and wings. Sorry, no white meat. All your mayonnaise-based salads, like macaroni, potato, and shrimp salad, in convenient 1, 5, and 10-gallon containers. Paper goods, like plates, cups, and utensils, including the popular sporks. Keep pests away with Bug Off Bug Spray, tested to be 80% DDT-free, so it's safe even for the little ones. Save big on scratch and dent grills, factory second lighter fluid, plus get bags of ice. Hurry in while they're still frozen. And kids, don't worry. Stan's Clothing Treasure Warehouse City Emporium World Mart Center Place Market still has mod back-to-school threads on sale. Hey, don't get caught wearing white after Labor Day. Get all the funky fall colors today.
Go, go, where the fashions are. Go, go, where the savings are. Save, save more on family clothing. Go, go.
For the location nearest you, look for our half-page ad in the latest Pennywise Shopper.
The only radio show in history to escape from the jaws of a dinosaur. Only to meet a dishy brunette who breaks hearts like glass.
Stan and Haney, 96K Rock.
Hey, everybody. Stan and Haney. Friday edition of the Stan and Haney Show. We're going to get you updated here on traffic news headlines with Mark Haney. 4 o'clock fluffer and... your emails. Let's kick things right off now. Let's get your first look at traffic for the day. All right, let's see what we got here. Both of these are in Fort Myers. We got a disabled vehicle, A&W Bulb Road. And
for that frosty mug taste.
Yep. And Heritage Cove Boulevard. Also, Fort Myers crash, 4900 block of Neal Road.
What sort of heritage is the cove acknowledging?
I have no idea. There's got to be a cove there that people would go to.
Because I know there's a Heritage Palms, and they have palm trees.
Yeah, but there's nothing heritage.
Is there a cove at Heritage Cove?
I would hope so. And they probably have to have it roped off or chained off because people would go in there.
See, I need just a tremendous lump sum of money so that I can purchase my home, and I want it to be one of those homes that has a name.
Oh, like the Ponderosa.
Yeah.
South Fork.
I want, like, a gigantic backyard.
Yeah.
Looking out over the river. Haney Harbor.
That's nice. That sounds good.
And then you and your wife can come visit by a boat.
Yeah. Will the water in the harbor be clean enough to swim in?
Hmm.
Or are we going to have an algae bloom? Or
yeah. Well, red tide and algae bloom. I don't know that I'd recommend it.
Yeah. Haney Harbor.
Well, you know... Was listening to you to the end bit yesterday and talking about how you got to have a vision board.
Yeah, yeah. Haney Harbor.
Want it to be a nice big place with a swimming pool overlooking the water and plenty of room to entertain all my friend.
You Coming up in less than 30 minutes, it'll be a Mark Cannon.
What? Do you know what I'm talking about?
News. Yeah, I do.
Mark?
Coming up in less than an hour on the news, we will have some things for you you didn't know.
All right.
What is the number one thing people lie about on dating apps?
Junior? You gotta, I mean, seriously.
Well, he's banned.
That's why. He's lied.
I want to guess height.
Height?
Height, yeah.
What makes you say that? Because that's not an issue for you.
No, but like if you look at some of these girls' profiles, they say like, oh, if you're under 6'4", don't DM me.
I don't ever under 6'4".
So do, what, when you show up, do they measure you because you're close?
I don't know.
Or do they just eyeball you and go, yeah, you look about 6'4".
They probably just eyeball it. I've never had the measuring tape pulled out.
And what are the, are these midgets then?
Yeah.
Hey.
That's offensive. What?
That is.
Is it problematic?
It's very problematic.
You remember what our friend Billy Barty said? Little people.
Yeah. Because I find that a lot, where the shorter the woman, the taller the man they want.
Exactly.
Where they're like under 5 feet, but they want someone a minimum of 6'4" to be with them.
Yeah, I used to date a girl that was 5 feet.
Oh, you know what that's called, don't you?
Yeah, I know what it's called.
Do you know what it's... I know what it's called. Do you know?
No, I don't.
You really don't?
No. What is it?
How much do you think she weighed?
I don't know.
Under 100, yeah, probably.
Something like that.
Around,
I never asked, because I'm a gentleman.
Around 5 foot and 100 pounds or under, what you have there, my friend, and all gentlemen of a certain age know this term. That's called a spinner, son.
Yeah, that's what they are. They're a spinner.
Good to know.
Yeah.
Remember that little spinner I used to bring around the radio station? She was insane.
A little spinner.
She was certifiable, man. Is there such a thing as being too blessed?
I don't know. I ain't been there yet.
I know this. God has a sense of humor. You know, it's always sad when a young couple suffers from fertility issues.
Oh, sure, yes.
And these days, they can be very aggressive about it. You don't have to just accept it. You go to doctors and...
Yes.
Well, one couple in Pennsylvania had quite a bit of difficulty getting pregnant. So, they decided that they would adopt not one, but 4 children. So, they adopted a ready-made family.
Yeah, I guess so.
And guess what happened?
She got pregnant.
And she didn't just get pregnant, she'd been doing fertility treatments.
Oh.
They're pregnant with quadruplets!
Oh.
They went from no kids to 9.
Yeah, they're blessed.
And that's all they can say.
Yeah,
they
blessed.
Can't go, oh, we are effed.
Yep,
they can't say that.
No, we're blessed.
Taco Bell is not helping. They may incite more riots nationwide.
Why?
Well, normally... During the headlines, I'll make you wait, but this is too big. Taco Bell is killing off the Mexican pizza, and people are losing their minds.
One of Junior's favorites.
And finally, a man is busted trying to cop a free meal by sprinkling his own lower hair on his food.
Oh, my God.
These stories and much, much more unfortunate nonsense coming your way in less than an hour on the news. I don't know how Taco Bell's in business. They did away with the Enchirito. They're doing away with the Mexican pizza.
All of those are Junior's favorites.
Are they?
Yeah, look at him. He's licking his chops now.
Sure, yeah. Let's go with that.
No, he only likes those Shaq tacos.
Yeah.
Because those are for big men.
Yeah. laughter. 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 It's 4 o'clock fluffer time.
Junior's scanning those ads and he's going, that's it? You just need somebody to 6'4"? Don't have to be successful? Don't have to have any particular color eyes? 6'4"? Yeah, I'm good.
Mark.
Stan.
Everyone.
Honey, I'm home.
Hi.
Hi, ladies.
I'm sure you saw this, Stan, but the rumor is that Kim Jong-un hit on White House Press Secretary Sarah Sanders.
I heard about that.
With that in mind, we bring you today's list of the
top
Kim Jong-un pickup lines. Hey, baby. Let's go back to my place. I have food.
Ooh, so scared, Chubby Wubby. I reported you to Jenny Craig.
Hey, baby, let me prove to you I'm not dead.
You gotta give me one with the dialect.
No.
Just one.
Hey, baby. That's a Kim Long Jong Un to you.
Come on.
You make my heart rocket across enemy lines.
Living in America.
Woo!
What nice girl like you doing in a political prison like this?
Not to brag, but I'm friends with the guy from The Apprentice.
Yep.
Why does that make you laugh?
It makes all of Southwest Florida laugh. If you didn't do at least one like that, I'd have a bunch of texts saying, where's the voice?
Okay. So have I done enough where people feel like they're not getting ripped off?
One more.
I bet my missile would fit perfectly inside your thigh roll.
All right, we're
good. Oh, I'm wet.
We're good.
And finally, the very top Kim Jong-un pickup line.
Yes.
I could stare into your eyes all night, but your arms would probably get tired from holding me up.
Hit the floor! Yes!
And that, my friends, is the 4 o'clock.
Elvis has left the building.
That's it, baby.
All right, email ahoy at stanandhaney.com. Ahoy.
What?
Ahoy at stanandhaney.com.
Okay.
This was just a quick one from a super fan, Scott. Hey, Stan, glad you're okay. Welcome back. Thank you, Scott.
He only did that because you were soliciting well-wishers yesterday.
I solicited a single well-wisher yesterday.
No, you didn't get what you wanted.
What do you mean?
Because anytime anyone would say, I'm glad you're feeling better, Stan, you would make over them.
Well, yeah.
Thank you for asking.
Yeah, thank you for asking.
I'm glad somebody did.
You're right, I did do that. Sorry. I shouldn't have gone seeking that. This is from Steve.
Well, that's the only way you get anything, Stan.
Oh, of course.
You taught me that.
Yep.
You gotta ask.
You gotta ask. What's the worst they can say? No. Answers to our question of the week. Last meals. You're headed to execution. They give you your last meal. What will it be?
Their last what?
Meal.
Meal?
Ah.
Aha.
Steve writes...
You want a slim flight life?
Ahoy, gentlemen. As I'm led to the gallows, I wonder if downloading that Metallica song from Napster was worth it. At least I get a final meal. Bacon and cheese fries with some ranch dressing. Blackened Delmonico steak, medium rare, with sugar snap peas and mashed potatoes, since carbs aren't an issue. Hot baked apple crisp with vanilla ice cream on top. My drink, Long Island iced teas. After a few, I'll be dumb and numb and not really care all that much where I am anyway. Heck, I may even think about that noose as a fancy tie. Great to hear everyone back and healthy. You guys rock. I enjoy listening daily. Have a most excellent Labor Day weekend. Eat much and relax. Signed, Steve.
Hey, I can invent a new dessert right now that everybody will love.
What is it?
I'll call it a hot brown Betty. People would order that.
Sure.
Sight unseen, without knowing what it is. Ooh, what's that? Chocolate brownie, chocolate. Yeah, ooh, hot brown Betty.
A hot brown Betty.
Ooh, I think I'll have one of them.
You know what Junior's favorite snack is? He told me outside, Frito pie.
That's a snack to him?
Yeah, Frito pie.
Well, is it's Frito like pie mean to him what it does to
it's
us?
It's like nachos.
First of all, I didn't say it was my favorite. I said I like it.
What, Frito pie?
Yeah, that's
what
the
is,
only...
What is Frito pie to you?
Just chili, Fritos, cheese.
There better be meat.
Put a dollop of sour cream on it. Well,
meat.
Yeah, in the chili.
Oh,
canned meats.
Yeah.
I'm not a fan.
Never have been. This is from Gary. I think Haney will like this. If I was on my deathbed, I would order all-you-can-eat cheeseburgers.
Nice.
This way, when you say you're done, you say they say, are you done? You say, no, I'm still eating. Glad you're feeling better, Stan. Signed, Gary. Our friend Carlos in Miami. Ahoy, guys. Uh-oh. Let me make sure. Okay.
Remember, we...
I'm good. Ahoy, guys. I thought Junior was supposed to
I thought we were sheltering Junior.
This ain't nothing political. Ahoy, guys. I thought Junior was supposed to be your loyal producer and assistant. I didn't know why you guys weren't on the air, and I was worried something really bad had happened. Thank God I heard you guys back on the air. Now I'm listening to Haney, and I cannot believe that Junior would try to get Stan pissed at Haney.
Oh, he didn't try. He did it.
What is that about, Junior? Stan and Haney have been your mentors. I always hear Haney giving you great advice and seems to really care about you. I really like you too, Junior. But don't be a dick. You're cool, man.
Yeah.
Stan and Haney, please don't ever fight over any stupid crap. Stan, never punch Haney in the face. You guys are better than that. I love the show, as always. Shout out to all the K-Rockers. Love you guys. Keep the peace and the laughs coming. Signed, Carlos.
Well, Carlos, I don't think you have to worry about that. Although it's come close, we've never struck one another.
That's true.
I have struck others on Stan's behalf, but that's a different story.
Let's not get into it. Ladies and gentlemen, The Guardian.
Jesus.
Ahoy, gentlemen. Stan, glad you're okay, and we were all worried about you. Well, guys, here's what my last meal would be. Let's see, for the Guardian here. For an appetizer, a big plate of fried mushrooms served with horseradish sauce. Guardian, that's what got you in trouble in the first place.
Yeah, but I can see the appeal.
For the main course would be two, count them, two racks of barbecue baby back ribs.
Why do you say it like that's Mickey
way,
Rooney?
That's the way they always do it, like on the commercials for when they have rib fit. Baby back ribs.
Smothered in crap. Look at it drizzle over those baby back ribs. Drizzled in crap.
Okay, two baby back ribs. And, of course,
smothered in burnt sugar and whiskey.
Smothered in Stan and Haney barbecue sauce.
Is that still available?
Yes, it is. It is available in certain areas. You know how I know?
How?
Because I'll be in the middle of nowhere looking. Hey, there it is.
In the middle of nowhere.
Yeah, I think.
And they're fully stocked.
They have an ample supply.
But only if you're in the middle of nowhere.
Here's where I know I've seen it.
Have you seen it in a populated area?
I've seen it in Alva. I've seen it on the way to Babcock Ranch. They have a Pan for Gold place over there, or Pan for Gems.
Yeah.
And like a farmer's market over there.
A farmer's market?
Not that I've been to in a while. They have it there, and they have it at Skip One. That I've seen. Hold on. Vegetable. Oh.
Isn't it odd that the further you get from town, the more you see our product?
Yeah. The vegetable would be a big bowl of butter beans. Then as a side dish, it would be sausage and biscuits. For dessert, a big bowl of vanilla ice cream with chocolate syrup. And to drink, a series of fine wines.
You know, he got me with biscuits and gravy.
Yeah.
That's one of the most decadent things you can do.
Yeah.
Give me a plate of like six giant biscuits, and I want you to drown it in sausage gravy.
That'd be my last meal. One thing for sure, I won't go hungry. Of course, I would hope they would let me take a nap after all of that.
Oh, yeah. Long one.
I want to be alert for my execution so I can put a curse on all of them. You guys are the best. Signed, The Guardian.
He's done it again!
All right, we're going to take a break.
Damn it.
What?
What? I miss biscuits and gravy.
Good! Go get yourself some! Go get yourself some!
I'm not awake at the time that you can get biscuits and gravy.
You can get some, right? You want to come with me? My wife and I will take you and we'll eat biscuits and gravy. Do you want that?
No.
Okay, then clam up!
Sorry.
We'll be back.
More fun than a Soviet-style gulag without food, running water, or a working toilet.
Everybody, Stan and Haney, thank you for joining us Friday afternoon, Labor Day weekend. A lot of you are going to have a nice 3-day weekend. You deserve it. We're going to get you updated on traffic for your drive home here in just a second. And going to tell you, and if you've been around for a while, you know about K-Rock's half-price deals on some of the best stuff. I'll tell you a little bit more about it in just a second. All right, a couple of things on the board, traffic-wise. We'll start in Fort Myers. Matter of fact, both of these are in Fort Myers. We've got a crash, the 6200 block of Topaz Court. And the other one, a hit and run, Fort Myers, Colonial Boulevard, and Ortiz Avenue. And you are up to date. We'll have another traffic update for you in about 30 minutes. You can do this anytime. Go to 96krock.com and save at Southwest Florida's best restaurants, businesses, attractions. Check out K-Rock's half-price deals. And sign up for the all-new Stan and Haney VIP Club. We've cleaned that up for you over the past couple of weeks to get the riffraff out of it and Stan and Haney into it. So, yeah, you can do that. You can check out the half-price deals. Sign up for the all-new Stan and Haney VIP Club. It's all at 96krock.com and the K-Rock mobile app. Ahoy!
Stan the Man.
Oh, my savior, Dr. Ray Bastardo. Doc, oh, it's good to hear your voice. I can't thank you enough.
You know, I told you, if you listen to me and you stop listening to that idiot producer of yours, then you'd be fine.
I know, I was... Doc, you were a lifesaver for me, you know, and taking your time out of the day and all this with this COVID stuff going on. And I was just so bad off. I went and called you. We had a nice conference call, and you took care of me, Doc. I'm on the mend.
Yeah, I still don't understand what you're doing asking your producer for medical advice.
Well, I asked him. I said, what do you think's wrong? I think he's got an aunt or something that was like a nurse practitioner or something a while back.
Yeah, okay. I would assume that listening to you now, you realize the error of your ways.
Yeah, it was pretty much like you told me when I talked to you on Sunday. You said, you're still sick, aren't you, Stan? That, Junior's aunt didn't give you the advice that you thought was wrong with you. That I'm the doctor, and here's what's wrong with you. And you did. I got to hand it to you, Doc. And well, I'm sorry I didn't call you first. I'm sorry I didn't call you first, but I thought you were so busy and, you know, with the appointment scheduling and the mask wearing and all of this stuff. And then, you know, I'm running a fever. I didn't want to be in your office or anything.
Well, Stan, you know, I have to look out for the patient's wishes. I also have to do what's medically necessary.
Yes, I understand that.
And I'm a little hurt that you didn't follow my advice.
I did follow your advice.
Look, if you had followed my original plan, you would have had 6 weeks paid time off.
I thought the plan to get better. You were telling me how I could have 6 weeks off. I don't want 6 weeks off.
Stan, you get 6 weeks paid off. You know how much money I would have made if I had put you down as a COVID case?
I don't have COVID.
I know this. Don't get me wrong. I would have made you better, but you would have had basically a free vacation. And do you have any idea what the government will pay with a positive COVID? It's like gold to them.
And what do they do? Send you a check or something?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And let me tell you something. I get that a lot quicker than I do from the insurance.
Okay. All right. I apologize. I was legitimately sick.
Let me tell you, Stan, in the medical profession, COVID is a gold mine.
Okay. All right. I didn't want to lie that I had COVID and add to the numbers and all that.
Stan,
there's enough shady stuff going on.
Everybody's doing it.
Okay. All right. All right.
You know, if you go to the hospital and there's something legitimately wrong with you.
Yeah.
But it's not COVID.
Yeah.
You're costing them money.
Okay. I'm sorry I didn't follow your orders.
Well, you go to the hospital and you got COVID, that's $12,000. Fast track to the hospital.
And now, how much do you get?
If they can manage to get you on a ventilator.
I don't want to be on a ventilator.
Now you're worth $38,000.
And how much do you get by just writing down on some funny paper that you got me on a ventilator?
Well, that's HIPAA. I can't tell you that. HIPAA.
You're right. You're right. That's HIPAA. You can't tell me how much
you're
getting. Speaking
of which, your secret's safe with me. I did have a bunch of people ask. They know I'm your doctor. And I kept it quiet. I just told them you had a case of the yips.
Okay, that's fine. I'm glad. Anything that I can do to make your life better, doctor. You did make mine better. You got me on the right prescriptions. You sent me, referred me to the right doctors.
Stan, the fact of the matter is I was always going to make you better.
I
don't want you sick. But the point is, if we can, you know, if we all get our beaks wet, where's the harm?
Okay. Well, this is all about money.
The news people, they get to go, look at this. There's another case in Lee County. Woo.
Okay. Have you done this before?
I can't, HIPAA. Hey, I had an interesting fellow come in
today. Yes, Ray. Don't you have patience? You're calling me. It's not even 5 o'clock yet. Don't you have patience?
Oh, that'll be fine. I'll slough them off. Matter of fact, I only came in here to pick up some medication. They're talking to some nurse practitioner in Oklahoma from my office. I got a teleconference set up there, so I don't even do that anymore.
Okay, all right. So, but you came in to pick up some medication.
Yeah, my back's been bothering me, Stan. I know you can identify. Sure. You got a lot of problems. Yep. Your back hurts you from time to time, doesn't it?
And you got a lot of samples over there at the office.
Yep. But we know why your back hurts.
Yes, I do know why my back hurts for carrying K-Rock for the last 30 years.
Right, right, right. So this fellow comes in, you know what? He's kind of a bigwig in Hollywood. Special effects guy.
Uh-huh.
He said he invented the chud.
What's a chud?
Well, that's what I asked him. I said, I'm sorry, I don't mean to insult you. I never heard of it. He said, you never heard of Bud the Chud? And he said, it's cannibal humanoid underground dweller. I guess it was a big, they made like 6 movies.
I never saw those movies. And he was the special effects guy?
Yeah, well, you know, maybe this guy's full of hot air, but he was telling me a story about this lady. It was an African-American studies professor.
Uh-huh.
And she comes out on the line, the internet, and tells everybody that her entire life was a lie because she pretended to be multiple different black people.
I saw that. I saw that in the news. Well, Doc, are you smoking?
Yeah.
You got patients waiting. You're picking up prescriptions for your bad back, and you're smoking.
And?
Never mind. You're talking about this woman pretending to be multiple races of black.
And then they show the pictures of this lady.
Yeah.
And I look at the picture and I go, that's a Jewish broad.
Look, I don't know. I saw the pictures. I saw the story. But I am not thinking about this. I'm trying to get better.
I'm just wondering. She says she's been doing this for like 20, 30 years.
Yeah, that's what it said.
How do you not know?
I thought you might have had a heart attack. I thought that might have been a heart attack coming on, Doc.
It could have been. It's just a slight myocardial infarction.
Okay. All right. Yeah, but go ahead. But what?
This just confuses me because did they just assume she was black and they were afraid to say anything? I mean, would she just act sassy? How does that happen?
Look, I don't know. That's her own truth, not mine. See, and I threw that out there. That's her own truth.
Yeah, well, her name was like Jessica Krug or something like that.
Okay, yes.
But her online persona, she was Jessica Lombombata. And so...
That sounds Greek or Italian, doesn't it?
Yeah, I don't know what she was. She says the Afro-Caribbean.
Oh, Afro-Caribbean. I don't know what that means.
I don't either. I also don't know what a black Rican is, but evidently she stole that identity.
I would assume that's an African-American with Puerto Rican blood.
Okay, great.
I'm just guessing. I don't know. Why are you so occupied by this?
Because I'm fascinated by it. I saw the video of her where she's addressing the city council in New York complaining about white people.
Right.
And she's talking in this the cheesiest accent you'd ever want to hear.
Some people are delusional.
I just don't understand, Stan.
All right, Doc. You know what? I know for a fact
that you're about 400 pounds, and you, every time I used to be in the office, you used to tell me how you played pro basketball. Now, I know that that's not true, but that's your truth. You keep telling me how you best buddies with so-and-so from the Milwaukee Bucks, and you two played college ball together at some Ivy League school, and you made it to the pros.
You're damn right.
That's your truth. That's what you believe. I know it's a complete lie, but I'm not going to go.
Hold on just a damn minute.
You know? You and I play golf, and you're acting like you're some kind of scratch handicapper, and you need one of those suction cups at the end of your putter to get the ball out of the hole. That's
you
no
know
scratch handicap
damn
guy.
Well, you can look up the stats. Now, of course, when I was playing, they didn't. You know, the internet hadn't caught up. They only go back a certain number of years.
Yeah, and I don't see your name.
But if you were to go to the organizational headquarters of the Washington Generals and request the all-time roster, you would find me under a fake name. Because I didn't want it to hurt my pro prospects that I played for the Washington Generals.
Yeah.
I don't know how much you know about the Washington Generals.
I know plenty.
But it's very rare that they win a basketball game.
Were you on the team that won a game?
No.
I don't think you played for the Washington Generals. I don't think you played college ball. You didn't play for the Bucks.
I'm embarrassed to say this, Stan. Here's my truth. They paid us to throw the game and make the Globetrotters look good.
All right.
Now, that's front page news. I just gave you an exclusive.
Yeah, and how you beat Ken Venturi three times down on Marco Island, didn't you?
I beat him like a rented mule.
You have a suction cup to pull the ball out of the hole, and every time I play golf with you, the ranger comes up and says, speed up play.
You listen to me, you son of a bitch. I am such a dominant golfer. You're talking to a man who made Patty Berg cry.
You made her cry because you pushed her over. She was 90.
Yeah, well, she wasn't all that good.
What are you talking about? She's in the Golf Hall of Fame.
Yeah, well, I didn't see it. Because I was dominant. Just like I was for the Generals. I was one of the few Washington Generals allowed to score a basket.
You sure you ain't one of them that got their socks and their shorts pulled down?
Well, that's part of the contract, Stan.
Yep, where you had a bucket of confetti thrown over your head?
But it was my but it was my dream to play professional basketball, and I made it come true.
You can't see it in any of the record books. What name did you go by when you were with the Generals so it wouldn't ruin your professional career?
Rob Basto.
When can we go out and play?
Anytime you want. I got nothing but time.
And just the cash is rolling in.
Oh, I'm telling you, this teleconference BS is the best thing to ever happen to a doctor.
We're going to take a break. We'll be back. Stan and Haney, 96K Rock.
Okay, Dwayne, we're going to try it once more. Just remember now, introduce yourself and read what's on the paper in front of you. You got it?
Yeah, I got it.
Okay, fine. Dwayne Staub, Substance Abuse Awareness Campaign. This is take 9. Dwayne, that's your cue.
Oh, right. Anytime you're ready.
We're ready, Dwayne, go.
Oh, hi. This is Dwayne Staub of Blacktooth. Kids, when you drink and drive...
No, Dwayne. No, cut. It's not when you drink and drive.
Oh, right. Let me do it again.
Yeah, good idea. This is Dwayne Staub, PSA, take 10.
Hi, this is Dwayne Staub. When I drink and drive, I'll...
Cut, Dwayne. Dwayne, this spot is supposed to be against driving while intoxicated.
What?
Never mind. We'll do it one more time. And remember, say... Don't do drugs, and if you must drink this holiday weekend, don't drive. You got it?
I told you I got it.
Fine. Dwayne Stomp, PSA, take, what is it, 11.
Hi, I'm Dwayne Stomp telling you, if you do drugs this weekend, don't drive.
Wrong again, Dwayne. It's don't do drugs. Don't do drugs.
That's what I said.
No, it's not. It's not even close to what you said.
You come in this booth, I'll show you how close it was, Sherlock.
We're going to do it again, Dwayne. Say, don't do drugs. If you must drink this holiday weekend, do not drive. Take 12.
This is Dwayne Stomp. Weekends are for drunks. Do drugs.
Okay, Dwayne, thank you very much for coming in. I think with a little editing, we've got something we can use.
Don't do drugs. And if
you must drink
this holiday weekend, don't
drive.
This is a symbol that you'll be seeing a lot from now on. It stands for the something wonderful that happens. The richer and more satisfying life your family can enjoy through the well-planned use of
Stan and Haney.
And one of the best things is this. Your family, every family can afford it.
96 K-Rock.
Yeah. And we're great companions on a trip. Hi, everybody. Stan and Haney. Friday edition of the Stan and Haney Show. Thank you so much for bearing with us this week. We're glad we're all back here and getting ready for a Labor Day weekend. You know, a lot of you going to be out there barbecuing.
You could have planned your illness better.
Yeah, you know.
If you'd gone Thursday and Friday, that would have been nice.
Would have been a lot easier.
Mm-hmm.
A lot less hassle. A lot less confusion between the three of us as to when we're here and when we're not here and whether commercials got cut and, you know, is a best of ready to roll.
Now, what I've learned is that there's a lot of ill will towards me.
Oh, yeah, I won't deny that.
And you run interference for me.
Yeah, I do.
But you're running interference based on nothing that I've done or haven't done.
Well, it goes back to there's a lot of ill will about you. You've been here a lot of years. And I still remember back to the old days when there would be salespeople that you would say hi to them for the first time after 3 years, and they'd start crying that you yelled at
them.
Well,
you know why I did that? Because after I was sexually assaulted by multiple salespeople, I said, it's best just, you know, that's my truth. And you know for a fact that I was sexually assaulted
there was
multiple occasions.
These were different times. These were different times where it was permitted. And I'm not.
Well, why are they different times for women?
I saw him.
It happened many, many times.
A long time ago, before all of this stuff started, where women who worked here would assault him.
They would sexually assault me. They would throw themselves at me.
And then start crying.
Yep. Sneak into my room at night.
Yes.
And then I was the bad guy.
Yep. Well, and that's where your reputation was built. This guy, stay away from him. He's poison.
Well, I guess I wasn't in the club. Just because I choose to protect my virtue.
Okay.
I could have gone a lot farther if I'd just given in.
Let's get you updated on
the
traffic.
Terrible thing is, there is a grain of truth there.
There's a grain of truth. I know there is. There's a grain of truth.
And I can tell you right now, if I had pulled the crap that she did,
you wouldn't be here.
Nope.
For a fact. And I would not stop you, because a lot of times they bring these things up that happened 10, 20, 30 years ago. If you wanted to bring it up, I'd support you. I witnessed it.
Which one did you witness? The one that was in public?
We're a little busy out there.
It's strange because it sounds like something that would be made up.
Yeah, but it's not. You were young and available.
No, I wasn't.
No, that's right. You were married. They were family wrecker. Fort Myers crash.
Tice Street and Carolina Avenue. These are all Fort Myers. Crash, State Road 82 and Sunshine Boulevard. Crash, 16,000 block of Summerlin Road, right by the Five Guys. And one more for you. It's again in Fort Myers. Crash, 9100 block of King's Crossing Road, right by the Walgreens. And you are up to date. We'll have one more traffic update for you in about 30 minutes. Mark Haney and the News, brought to you by Jason and Todd at the Diamond District, starts right now.
There was a time before cable, when the local anchorman reigned supreme. When people believed everything they heard. This was an age when only men were allowed to read the news. One anchor man was more man than the rest.
Hashtag Haney 2.
Not West Point, anchorman. He was like a god walking amongst mere mortals. He had a voice that could make a wolverine purr.
I was worried she was going to get both of us killed.
Made Sinatra look like a hobo. In other words, Mark Haney was the balls.
Hi, I'm Derek Utley, and you're listening to Southwest Florida's most respected anchorman, Mark Haney.
Good afternoon. This is the news for today, Friday, September 4th.
Double M, double X.
Telling it like it is, I'm Mark Haney. Time now for Things You Didn't Know. In World War II, Stan.
The big one.
It was all hands on deck. Everybody had to do their part, no matter how small.
Yep.
Even if it was just a matter of remembering that loose lips sink ships.
Yep.
Every American had a role to play. Junior will enjoy this because he likes comics and easy-to-read books.
Yeah.
Stan Lee served in the Army during World War II, served as an official Army playwright, and serving alongside Stan Lee, Dr. Seuss himself, served as an official Army playwright. That's an important job. The two of them combined their powers.
Like two superpowers there.
Yep. To create pamphlets for soldiers on how to avoid getting VD.
That was a big thing. That was a big thing. You go into those French towns.
Oh, yeah. Well, back then, only European women were whores.
Well, that's the way it was viewed.
Well, I'm just going by the comic books about VD.
It's like when you would go into liberated
Paris. You have to understand they're not like American women.
They're very loose, and they carry things.
Yep.
Like your clap. Clap for the wolf man.
This is my rifle. This is my gun.
Yeah.
The Wizard of Oz. Perhaps one of the most influential pieces of entertainment ever made.
It's been around a long time and it's constantly shown.
And when you think of the Wizard of Oz, you think of Dorothy and her little dog Toto.
Yep.
The main character in The Wizard of Oz was originally written to be a boy.
Oh, really?
But L. Frank Baum's niece, Dorothy, died while he was working on the book, and that's what caused him to change the character to a girl named Dorothy.
Makes perfect sense.
I know one of Junior's favorites here has to be Buzz Lightyear. Oh, you like Buzz Lightyear, don't you, buddy?
How, let me ask you this, because time, we're old.
You don't say.
When the do you remember as a kid going to the movies to see the first Toy Story, or was that before your time?
I'm not sure if I went to the theaters to see it, but yeah, I used to have a little Buzz Lightyear action figure that I loved.
Yeah. Did you have Toy Story on VHS?
Yes, I did.
Did you wear it out?
Oh, yeah. I broke that VCR. My dad got really mad at me.
Conservatively, how many times do you think young Junior has seen Toy Story?
I don't know. I can't even answer that. It's a lot. That's for sure. I can't put a number to it.
Would you say over 100 times you've sat through?
I wouldn't say 100.
50?
Let's go with like 30. How about that?
Would you say that was your favorite, as a kid growing up, your favorite movie, Toy Story?
No.
What was?
Star Wars. Had that on VHS, too.
Do you know?
So when you had your Buzz Lightyear toy,
yeah,
what would you do with it?
Yeah, pick it up and make him fly and stuff.
What did he say?
I didn't think it said anything.
Yeah, it did.
No, not the one I had.
To infinity and beyond.
I had one of those dollar store ones. It didn't have the voice.
And so you weren't creative enough to come up with dialogue? Just
no, I'm not witty enough.
You know, of all the kids...
You know, he told me that.
What, that he's not witty?
Yes, not witty enough.
He's witty.
You know, I think you're witty enough.
Do you know of all the toy or all the kids' movies? When my daughter was little, she had them all. She loved the Disney sing-alongs and all of the
Toy Story. Can't escape it.
The one she liked the most, and I actually enjoyed it, she used to love to watch James and the Giant Peach.
Fantastic. Love that movie.
And I would remember sitting there, and I'm like, she would have the VHS. And that would be one of the few things that I'd say, yeah, go ahead, right in the living room, pop it in, let's watch it, because I enjoyed that too. She loved James and the Giant Peach.
My favorite one to watch with my daughter is directly from this show, because Danny DeVito and Rhea Perlman sent us copies of the movie, Matilda.
Yeah, great movie. Great movie.
I don't think it would be made today.
But it was a good movie.
Because it would be too frightening.
Yeah.
In the chokey. Anyway.
Yeah, sorry about
Buzz
that.
Buzz Lightyear was not his original name.
No.
His original name, and I wonder if Junior would have played with this toy, Lunar Larry.
I don't mind that either.
It's kind of creepy.
It sounds like a weatherman to me.
Yeah. Yep.
Hi, I'm Lunar Larry.
I'm everybody's friend.
What is the number one thing people lie about on dating apps?
We asked Junior, and he said height. Height.
Height.
That's because he's very in tune to that, because he'll go through and look for the little spinners that want someone 6'4" or better.
Yep.
And he learned today what a spinner is.
Yep.
See, we all learn something every day.
That's right.
Well, the number one thing that people lie about on dating apps is one of four things. Their age.
Junior's done that.
Height.
He's done that.
Weight.
Yep, he's definitely done that.
Definitely that one.
And how successful they are.
Yeah.
Check them all off.
It wasn't even close. The one with the most votes was lying about how successful you are.
Yeah, you want to impress the other one, and you know, we used to have somebody that worked here as a flit boy, and he used to practically say he ran the place.
Well, we've done that a couple of times where they bring in their parents and we act like they're our boss.
Kind of like when Otis the Drunk on the Andy Griffith Show had his brother coming into town and
Andy deputized him for the day.
Yeah. I think that's where we got it from.
Yeah.
Believe it or not, I guess lying about your level of success would be number one, but a close number two would be the 43% of people who claim they never lie about anything on a page.
Oh, please.
I don't understand the point, because assuming that your lie is successful, there's going
to
come a point.
To it. Yeah. It's going to come a point
where they're going to look at you and go, you're not a black woman at all. You're a Jewish lady.
Still on that.
In a moment.
I am Bill O'Reilly with today's good news. Here's Southwest Florida's most respected anchorman, my colleague, Mark Haney.
Bill, well, I asked during the headlines, is there such a thing as being too blessed?
Yeah. I mean, I said, I don't know. I ain't been there yet.
Maxine and Jake Young of Berks County, Pennsylvania.
Isn't that Amish country?
It's close.
Yeah.
A lot of pretentious people live there.
Gotcha.
They had one son, but they wanted to expand their family, and they had quite a bit of difficulty getting pregnant. They tried and they tried, and they turned to IVF.
You know what that is, Junior? What?
I have no idea.
In vitro fertilization.
Oh.
Yeah. And you know what just went off in his head?
What?
Oh, there's a Nirvana record called that. In vitro, in utero? Is that it? Yeah. Nirvana.
Yeah, man.
So, obviously, they wanted more kids. They're taking drastic medical actions to make it possible. Okay, knock it off.
Don't you have that on mute? What are they finding about in vitro fertilization?
Yes. Thank you, no. So the IVF wasn't working. They wanted more kids, and they decided to adopt.
Aww.
And in December, they were so blessed. They took in four foster siblings as part of an emergency adoption placement. So their family grew from three to seven people just like that.
That is beautiful.
If only it ended there.
But it doesn't.
A few weeks later, Maxine discovered she was pregnant. This was quite a shock to Maxine, as she believed this to be physically impossible.
Her husband thought so, too.
And Maxine not only found out she was pregnant, she found out she was pregnant with what doctors call quadruplets.
Oh, the quad.
She gave birth to the quads last month.
Yeah.
And although they're in neonatal intensive care at the hospital, they're all doing just fine and are expected home soon.
Aww.
So they went from a family with one child, three people, to a family of 11 in less than a year.
They're so blessed.
Too blessed.
Yeah.
Now, this is a very sensitive story I'm doing here next, and I'll ask you to please have a sense of decorum. Remember where you are.
Yep.
Although I understand emotions will run high.
Yeah, but just remember, we're all adults, okay?
Here we go.
Yep.
Earlier this year, Taco Bell removed a bunch of items off their menu. It turns out they weren't done. Now they've announced even more cuts, including shredded chicken and pico de gallo salsa.
Oh my God, Junior's favorite.
But people took that news fairly well.
Okay.
It's another cut that's getting the attention.
What?
Taco Bell announced they are killing off the Mexican pizza. Well, you know, there's a certain phrase, Stan. Get woke, go broke. Taco Bell says the packaging has a huge environmental impact. Mm. And that Mexican pizzas alone use more than 7 million pounds of paperboard per year.
Paper. It's recyclable. Paper.
So if you want a Mexican pizza, you better order it before November 5th, because then it's gone forever.
That's, you like what those two, don't you? That's one of your favorites, too.
Oh, that is my favorite. Yeah.
I'd try that. What's on it?
Sauce.
Okay, thank you.
Now, I don't know about you, Stan. I'm not the greatest businessman in the world.
Never have been.
But if I'm moving 7 million pounds of paperboard a year, I might be doing something right.
You'd think that's, you know what? You're moving that stuff. That's good.
Suffice it to say, people are furious over losing access to the Mexican pizza.
Be honest, I never had one. Have you had one?
Oh, yeah, all the time.
Are they good?
Yeah. The angry tweets were flying yesterday. One person summed it up best and put everything in perspective.
Yeah.
Quote, just when you think 2020 couldn't get any worse.
My God. Yep. You get it right there. It just puts another nail right there in 2020.
Hello, I'm Bill Curtis of Investigative Reports. For our final story, here is Southwest Florida's most respected anchorman, Mark Haney.
Bill.
But they are good, huh? They're tasty.
Yeah.
They're not too salty.
Yeah,
or...
what I don't understand is why they have to get rid of anything, because what they have is basically meat, cheese, tortilla, and toppings, and they just make them in different shapes.
Yeah, that's pretty much all the same ingredients, isn't it?
Yeah, it's like a couple of tacos. Yeah. Just one on top of the other.
Flat.
Yeah. You know, beans on the bottom.
Yeah. Make it stick.
Yeah. Colorful sauce on top.
Yep. Make it bright.
Yeah. Mm. You know, business on the bottom. Party in front.
Yeah. What?
I don't know. But I do know this.
Yes.
There are absolutely repulsive people walking this earth that are capable of anything.
Oh, absolutely. Without a doubt.
Two men in their 20s recently went to a barbecue restaurant in Blackburn, England, known for their barbecue.
Yep. One of the best places in the world.
And they complained to management. They found a pubic hair in their food. And they demanded their $90 tab be comped. We're doing some eating for $90 worth of barbecue.
Yeah.
What the diners didn't count on is that the staff would check security footage, and they found the horrible truth. One of the diners, in full view of the camera, is seen sticking his hand into his shorts, grabbing some of his own hair and liberally sprinkling it on the food.
Yeah, grabbing down there, get it some fist fur.
Well, luckily we live in the days of instant replay no matter what you're doing.
Yeah.
Sports, dining, whatever, let's go to the tape. The manager confronted the men over the scam. That turned into a 10-minute screaming match. Finally, the men put together $26 and threw it at the manager and left.
Jeez, because that's all they had.
The restaurant reported them to the police. Okay, what's the problem? Oh, Jesus.
Yeah. Oh, man. You didn't. You're going to this level, huh?
Reach down there and rip it out by the root.
Yeah. Right, and sprinkle it like a...
Like,
you know,
Famunda cheese.
Sprinkling it like, well, like some saffron.
Yep. And that's the news for today, Friday, September 4th.
Double M, double X.
I am Southwest Florida's most respected anchorman.
There he is, little Monkey Haney, telling it like... It is.
People, I mean, got no shame.
No shame whatsoever. My God, no shame.
Bring out your day.
Shame.
Bring out your day.
Shame.
Day.
Shame.
Bring out your day.
Shame.
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 Bring out
shame.
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 Jason and Todd from the Diamond District bringing us news. We'll be back. Stan and Haney. 96 K-Rock.
The radio miracle so powerful it can strip paint. Yet so gentle it's been approved by the FDA for use in baby food. Stan and Haney on 96 K-Rock.
Hey, everybody. Stan and Haney. Thank you for spending this week with us. I know it was an interesting week with us getting, well, with me getting sick. But you stuck with us. We appreciate it. Al Beck going to be taking things over at 6 o'clock, take you through your Friday evening leading into Labor Day weekend. Let's get one more look at traffic for your drive home this afternoon. All right, we have a few things on the board. We'll start in Fort Myers. Got a crash, 16,000 block of South Tamiami Trail, right by Absolute Collision Center. Lehigh Acres, crash, Lee Boulevard, and Gunnery Road North. And then we have one more for you. It's on Fort Myers Beach. It is a crash, the 1200 block of Estero Boulevard, right by Shuckers. And you are up to date. Let's laugh.
Time now for another Stan and Haney stand-up comedy classic. Classic comedy the way it used to be on 96 K-Rock.
My wife is a New Yorker, so she likes to bust my chops, you know. She talked me into taking Pilates class with her just so she could make fun of me in front of new people. We get there, she's like, yeah, guess who's here? My husband. I wear the pants in this relationship. I was like, yeah, but I wash them. Just for that little jab, I'm gonna shrink your jeans a little and make you feel fat. And there's a female bodybuilder in our class. Have you ever seen one of those ladies? I wouldn't make fun of her, but she makes fun of me. She'll be like, what's up, girly man? And I'm like, what's up, man? Yeah, her name's Tiffany, but I nicknamed her Greg. But I'm pretty sure she's stronger than me because her weights are 30 pounds and my weights are purple. That's not manly at all. Like, dude, what do you bench? Violet. My wife kind of has like a gruff smoker's voice, you know? She's beautiful, but picture like a pretty little butterfly just floated down and it landed on the back of your hand. It was like, how's it going? The first time I met her, I was like, are you talking into a fan?
Have yourselves a great and safe holiday weekend. We are the Stan and Haney Show, 96 K-Rock, and we leave you this afternoon with this. Ahoy!
Stan the man.
Oh, my savior, Dr. Ray Bastardo. Doc, oh, it's good to hear your voice. I can't thank you enough.
You know, I told you, if you listen to me and you stop listening to that idiot producer of yours, that you'd be fine.
I know, I was... Doc, you were a lifesaver for me, you know, and taking you time out of the day and all this with this COVID stuff going on. And I was just so bad off. I went and called you. We had a nice conference call and you took care of me, Doc. I'm on the mend.
Hey, I had an interesting fellow come in.
Yes,
today.
Yes, Ray. Don't you have patience?
I only came in here to pick up some medication. They're talking to some nurse practitioner in Oklahoma from my office. I got a teleconference set up there, so I don't even do that anymore.
Okay, all right.
Yeah, my back's been bothering me, Stan. I know you can identify. Sure. You've got a lot of problems. Yep. Your back hurts you from time to time, doesn't it?
And you got a lot of samples over there at the office.
Yep. But we know why your back hurts.
Yes, I do know why my back hurts for carrying K-Rock for the last 30 years.
So this fellow comes in, you know what? He's kind of a bigwig in Hollywood. Special effects guy.
Uh-huh.
He said he invented the chud.
What's a chud?
Well, that's what I asked him. I said, I'm sorry, I don't mean to insult you. I never heard of it. He said, you never heard of Bud the Chud? And he said, it's cannibal humanoid underground dweller. I guess it was a big, they made like six movies.
I don't see, I never saw those movies. And he was the special effects guy?
Yeah, well, you know, maybe this guy's full of hot air, but he was telling me a story about this lady. It was an African-American studies professor.
Uh-huh.
And she comes out on the line, internet, and tells everybody that her entire life was a lie because she pretended to be multiple different black people.
I saw that. I saw that in the news. Well, Doc, are you smoking?
Yeah.
You got patients waiting. You're picking up prescriptions for your bad back, and you're smoking.
And?
Never mind. You're talking about this woman pretending to be multiple races of black.
And then they show the pictures of this lady.
Yeah.
And I look at the picture and I go, that's a Jewish broad.
Look, I don't know. I saw the pictures. I saw the story. But I am not thinking about this. I'm trying to get better.
She says she's been doing this for like 20, 30 years.
Yeah, that's what it said.
How do you not know?
I thought you
might have
had a heart attack. I thought that might have been a heart attack coming on, Doc.
It could have been. It's just a slight myocardial infarction.
Okay. All right, yeah, but go ahead. But what?
This just confuses me. Because did they just assume she was black and they were afraid to say anything? I mean, would she just act sassy? How does that happen?
Look, I don't know. That's her own truth, not mine.
I just don't understand, Stan.
All right, Doc. You know what? I know for a fact that you're about 400 pounds. And you, every time I used to be in the office, you used to tell me how you played pro basketball. Now, I know that that's not true, but that's your truth. You keep telling me how you best buddies with so-and-so from the Milwaukee Bucks, and you two played college ball together at some Ivy League school, and you made it to the pros.
You're damn right.
That's your truth. That's what you believe. I know it's a complete lie, but I'm not going to go.
Hold on just a damn minute.
You know, you and I play golf, and you're acting like you're some kind of scratch handicapper, and you need one of those suction cups at the end of your putter to get the ball out of the hole. That's
you
no
know
scratch handicap
damn
guy.
Well, you can look up the stats. Now, of course, when I was playing, they didn't, you know, the internet hadn't caught up. Uh-huh. They only go back a certain number of years.
Yeah, and I don't see your name.
But if you were to go to the organizational headquarters of the Washington Generals and request the all-time roster, you would find me under a fake name. Because I didn't want it to hurt my pro prospects that I played for the Washington Generals.
Yeah.
I don't know how much you know about the Washington Generals.
I know
Generals,
plenty.
But it's very rare that they win a basketball game.
Yeah. Were you on the team that won a game?
No.
I don't think you played for the Washington
you know
Generals. I don't think you played college ball. You didn't play
I'm
for the
Bucks. I'm embarrassed to say this, Stan. Here's my truth. They paid us to throw the game and make the Globetrotters look good.
Okay.
Blue skies.
Yeah.
Every day is a gift.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task. But after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.